The Willamette River courses through the heart of Eugene, Oregon. Here, several parks bloom out from its banks. One of these is Alton Baker, a popular place for parents to bring their children to see the ducks, geese, and gulls that crowd the park's curving pond. The scene here was not always so leisurely, however. In the not-too-distant past, this area was very different.
To give you some ideas, all of that which is now Alton Baker Park and where the car lots and the boats are and the restaurants and, you know, all of that was county woodlots. So you had piles of chopped lumber because E-Webb in the county used that for heating during the day because a lot of the heating utilities for downtown Eugene was steam.
That's Willie Mims. He moved to the Eugene area with his family in the mid-1940s. Due to a history of inhospitality towards African Americans in Oregon, many blacks, including the Mims family, were denied housing upon arriving in Eugene. Lily Parker, a daughter of the Reynolds family, tells of their struggle to find housing in the area at the time.
When my mom came and they moved down to Eugene, one of my dad's patrons, I call them, had rented them an apartment. And my mom said as we moved in the front door, the white people moved out the back door. And then a petition was bought and they were asked to move. And the patron then bought a house for my family on 7th and Van Buren in his name. But my father was going to make the payments because, of course, he couldn't buy a house here. And when they found out that it was a black family, there were petitions and great concerns about us being there.
Unable to find housing, the Reynolds, along with several other black families coming to Eugene in the 40s, were forced to settle in the woodlots across the river from the city. Here, a village eventually grew and was dubbed Tent City because of its rudimentary dwellings. Willie Mims, who was a child at the time, recalls the construction of the houses his family occupied in the settlement.
We had two places over there. My father put together two places. The first place, I slept on an army cot. The ground was the floor. And I remember building a little frame around. It was probably no more than maybe about a 10 by 10. The frame around was about 4 or 5 feet high. And from there, they rigged up a tent for the rest of it and for the rooftop. We wasn't there very long. We probably wasn't there for about 4 or 5 months. And then he built another little place. And if I remember correctly, neither place had windows. But I remember the second place had a wood floor and also had a roof on the top. But again, these was real shabby places. Like you could actually look out the side of any wall and actually there would be cracks and you could see daylight outside. Just to give you some kind of picture of what this house looked like. It was just things that folks could gather and put together.
Living conditions in the settlement, where 22 families eventually dwelled, became much harder in winter when heavy rains and snow in the valley would swell the Willamette River beyond its banks and into the floodplain where the village sat.
We had to move out of there a couple of times, twice in 1 year and once another year, because the dams wasn't built on the Willamette River, so it would flood. The water probably rose 4 or 5 feet. And the little shacks they built, they stayed there. But I know the water rose within the floor area because I remember family cleaning out the mud and that sort of thing when we returned. So it wasn't livable.
In spite of the hardships, a strong community among the African Americans helped to shelter the children from the harsh social realities of the time, as well as the dangerous conditions in which they lived. Mims recalls a great childhood, with the forested river and the maze-like woodlots as his playgrounds.
Being a young person, at the age, you know, like 8, 9 years of age, it was fun. You know, I had a couple playmates, and we would ramble and play through those wood piles and stuff, you know, so we could hide and all that sort of thing. So as kids, it was fun, and plus the family didn't really share the misery with the kids, you know. I never remember my family talking or any other elders talking about the difficult times that they were having as far as the social living conditions was concerned. You know, we could catch trout anytime. You just walk down the river and catch rainbow trout anytime. We camp out, learn to swim in the Willamette River, where right close to where the Fountain Park, that inlet that comes through there. It was all wooded then. They had a lot of thin willow brush-like vegetation there. And got caught there by Mrs. Reynolds once. We was forbidden to swim in the river, but, you know, being young boys, we always did things that was forbidden. And so she whipped everybody's tail, you know, because in the black community, it is really a village. You know, it's like you obeyed all the elders. When the elders tell you to do something, you did it. If you didn't do it, you know, you might get your hired 10 twice. Once for what you did and once for not obeying what another elder tell you to do.
The strong sense of community was integral to the flourishing of each family in Tent City as they weathered the storm through the late 40s.
I think probably the strongest resource that people had was each other.
In early 1949, the city of Eugene announced plans to replace the old, dilapidated Ferry Street Bridge. The plan for the new bridge included off-ramps in part of the area occupied by the Tent City residents. By this time, there was some concern about the living conditions in Tent City, and community groups helped with the relocation of families. The Mims family was able to purchase two houses on 3rd and High, with the help of the owner of the Osborne Hotel where Willie's father worked. Some families, including Lily Parker's, were relocated outside the city limits on West 11th, and others to an area on Glenwood. These neighborhoods experienced many of the same problems that plagued Tent City, which, in July of 1949, was demolished before all of its inhabitants were able to relocate. The new Ferry Street Bridge that was built still stands today, stretching across the river to Alden Baker Park, where a dark history lies buried beneath the surface.